Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Hello, America. It's good to be back with you. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. I promised you that Douglas Graham would be with us when we came back. And guess what? He's not yet. We're working on that. We're going to try to get him on here pretty soon. But if we don't, but you know what? It doesn't matter what it matters, because I would like for him to be here. But we're going to do what we were going to do anyway, because I want to talk about the why ideas don't happen. That was one of the things that Douglas and I were going to talk about. And there are some reasons why ideas don't happen, why things that you and I think about don't come to fruition. And one of the things, before I say that, though, I want to remind you about some stats that I've talked to you about in the past. And that is that in the 1970s, approximately 20 to 30% of all assets of businesses were intellectual property, ideas, proprietary information, patents, things that you couldn't hold in your hand, but that were useful, things that we knew, processes that we knew, things that we understood, systems, those kinds of things. About 20 to 30% of the value of the wealth of a company, of its value, were in those things, and about 70 to 80% were in things you can kick or paint or sell or, you know, or move or stack, roll or a crank or whatever, computers, cars, trucks, buildings, things like that. In the 21st century, actually at the very end of the 20th century, some research had been done on that same ratio, the same analysis of those two areas, tangible and intangible. And what was found was that in about a 25-year period, those numbers had reversed themselves to the point where 20 to 30% of a company's value, where it was in fixed assets, and the rest of it was in intangible assets, things that we knew, patents, et cetera, all the things that I mentioned earlier. We found out, and this kind of research has been done by more than one group, by the way, that have found the same thing. And you might say, well, that's ridiculous. You might say, well, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't sound right. Look at all these major corporations. But guess what? Don't forget, if you look around, you probably have less inventory today than you did before, than you did if you've been in business 20 years. What are the chances that you have, at least let me put it this way, you have greater inventory turns? Maybe your total inventory is higher than it was 20 years ago, but maybe your turns are greater. And that means that if you went back to your old turn ratio, that means that you would have to have a lot more inventory than you do now. So your inventory is less a part of your total assets than it was proportionally, especially proportion to sales. And there's so many things that we can do today with less fixed assets than ever before. And so what I wanted to get in your mind to start with is this. And that is that in the 21st century, you're going to be able to be successful more with intangible assets than ever before. Now, I'm not going to say more than with tangible assets, because I don't know your business. You know, who knows? And each industry is a little bit different. But I'm going to say more than ever before intangible assets, ideas, things that you know, things that you understand, maybe things that you know and understand that nobody else knows or understands. Those are the things that you will be able to leverage in the 21st century more than ever before in the history of mankind. And it's because of our journey of intellectual property and of intellectual capital. And when we come back, I think we'll see, we're going to have Douglas, I think Douglas Graham is going to be with us, and he'll help me continue this discussion. But I want you to think about that. Think about ideas. Think about intangible assets as a way to leverage your dream. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how to do that. And that's coming up right after these messages. 20 till, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with me. Back, it's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for staying with us today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you have a question or a comment that you'd like to ask, here's all you have to do. Just email it at askjim@jbsba.com. Just send us an email, askjim@jbsba.com. Douglas Graham is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, as I promised you. And Douglas is the, along with Thomas Bachman, is the author of a book I'm holding in my hand, Ideation: The Birth and Death of Ideas. And I bet you didn't know some ideas died, but they do sometimes. And Doug is the CEO and chairman of Innovation Trust Company, which administers $8 billion of financial assets and is the first bank to manage intellectual assets as well as financial assets. That's a very important distinction. And he's been with us before, and we're glad to welcome him back. Douglas, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you back. Douglas, in the previous segment, just before you got here, I was talking about the, I was just trying to get the audience's attention, so to speak, and letting them, helping them to understand that the world is changing with regard to its leverage of assets. The world, the marketplace, is learning how and effectively doing it. We're actually leveraging intellectual property more than hard assets. That's really happening, isn't it?
It certainly is. And the reason is that they now comprise 80% of our value, whereas 10, 12 years ago, it was the tangible assets that comprised the 80% of the value of corporations.
Right.
So it's now where the value is, and we have to figure out how to work with that.
Well, one of the things that gets this and understands this and is putting quite a bit of their resources behind this concept of the way we're leveraging assets to follow our business models are the large companies. And my job, part of my assignment here is to make sure small business owners get this. And you know, and I know, that some small business owners do get it and some don't. And I want you to talk to us about how we can get more small business owners to understand that these ideas can be turned into profits.
Indeed. In fact, given that this is now their main value, one of the things we're working at Innovation Trust, which is actually still called Circle Trust, we're still rolling out the new name, is ways that we can help businesses realize the value that they have. Often they have these intangibles that they've worked on for years, or these brilliant ideas, but they've always had difficult time getting them financed, getting them recognized. So we're looking at all kinds of new financial instruments like intangible asset bank securities to help people when they often most need the financing, to help them collateralize their intellectual property, their ideas.
Well, that's a really important point, Douglas, because I do think that one of the things that prevents a lot of small business owners from following their intangible asset ideas is funding, because most traditional banks aren't prepared to deal with that, are they?
No, it's true, because they don't have the means of valuing these intangibles. So
they don't have serial numbers, do they?
Exactly. In fact, you know, Greenspan even commented on this in a speech just a few weeks back. He said that you've got to question whether the current system is appropriate for an economy where most of the value is now in the intangibles. And, you know, it's only a very small amount that's tied up in the fixed and the financial asset.
I mean, imagine a bank trying to value Amazon or eBay or Google. You know, that, that takes a new model. It takes a 21st century model to do that, doesn't it?
Yeah, and we believe we do have a new model for valuing intangibles. That's what we're working on and developing as we speak, and we'll probably be rolling that out towards the end of the year to make it much easier, because right now valuing intangibles can be a difficult and expensive business.
Douglas, in your book, you talk on page 160, you talk about some of the reasons why ideas aren't allowed to fledge and to come to fruition. And one of the reasons you say is because people think that their idea will be stolen.
And often with good cause. Particularly in the larger corporations, it's often their boss that will steal the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And people get frustrated by this. And this is a real downer on innovation within large organizations, the fact that people don't get the credit for their ideas. But even in small companies, they get stolen. They get stolen by people they talk to. They go to a large company to talk about developing it, and they get taken because it's very difficult to protect yourself and to prosecute a larger company, because intellectual property litigation can be expensive and it becomes a very long, drawn-out process.
Right. Well, how do we get over this? How do we deal with the idea of that something might be stolen?
Well, one service that we're offering right away is that of being able to register your intangibles, your intellectual property. Simply the process of downloading an electronic document. We run a message digest through it. It's like a digital fingerprint. And that gives you a very strong attestation trail that shows that you had that idea at that date and time.
It establishes you as the person with the idea on a certain date, doesn't it?
Exactly. It's not the same as patenting it, but it's the first initial step of protection.
Right. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to get you to tell us how we can connect up with that resource. And that's right after these messages. We've got more to come with our friend Douglas Graham. We're going to continue to talk about your ideas, how do you get them to marketplace, and how do you protect them. Right after these messages, Tintel, stay with us.
Oh, mirror in the sky, what is love?
Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Douglas Graham. And he and Thomas Bachman are the authors of Ideation, The Birth and Death of Ideas, which is an outstanding book, folks. If you'd like to kind of learn some more about some of the things I talked about in the first part of this half hour, when I talked about the concept of ideas and how intellectual property can be, how it is a large part of what your company is, whether you realize it or not. If you're using computers, ladies and gentlemen, if you're using technology, you've got a lot more intellectual property that you're using and that you're leveraging than you probably think. And it'd be to your great advantage to get a better understanding, a better appreciation for all that. And that's the reason why I encourage you to check out Douglas's book, Ideation. Doug, tell us where the book's available and your website, too, please.
Well, it's available from all the usual sources like Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and also available through the website, which is ideation.com, ideation.com.
Now, is that where we can find the program that you mentioned a minute ago?
Yeah, that's right. We actually have a beta version of that up right now on that site. And we're doing further work on it, refinements, and we think we'll have the full production version released in about a few more weeks.
I would like for the things that you're working on, it would be my wish and my dream that the that the things that you're working on to help people understand how to value intellectual property, that could find its way to every banker to every bank in America. Because if we could do that, I mean, I promise you, and you know this is true too, Doug, that there are small businesses out there who need capital. They've got a good idea, but they don't know how to fund that idea. And their local banker is they're just not equipped. And the banking regulations really aren't conducive to getting funding out of that bank. Would you agree with that?
I think that's true. And in fact, one of the things we'll be looking at is a product that we will resell through other banks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we already do that for some of our core businesses at
right.
Circle Trust Company. And we plan to add that to the roster of services that we'll offer our banking customers.
Let's talk about a couple of other reasons why people don't develop their ideas. The first thing we talked about was that they were afraid people would steal them. A lot of times, small business owners aren't plugged into the right legal expertise, aren't they?
That's correct. I mean, they don't have the legal expertise. They often don't have the access to cash or access to marketing, access to engineering know-how. So there's many reasons, because the skills involved in inventing are often quite different from the skills involved in taking the idea to the next step. So often people, it's difficult for people with the ideas to hook up with the people who have the ability to move these ideas along.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the other things we're trying to do, is to build a community where ideas are able to connect much more easily with sources of funding and sources of marketing and various other help that's needed, such as engineering.
Well, there are two kinds of intellectual property that I think are being birthed in small businesses. One is the kind that just helps that small business become better able to serve their customers. It's a very integrated kind of intellectual property. And then the other kind is the kind that's totally different from what that small business does. It's a whole new idea that needs a whole new business model.
Yeah, and often they're not able to get that idea out very well, because you know their own business is geared up just for that one particular area. And when there's an idea that really breaks out into many different areas, it's difficult for them to get that additional income or additional licensing income from that.
And so the challenge is to know what to do with it. Do I license it, or do I take it to market myself? That's where the challenge is, isn't it?
Exactly. And of course, it's not easy taking it to market yourself.
Right. Douglas, we've got about 30 seconds before we go. I want you to give us your last thoughts and before you go.
Well, I just think it's very good that you're bringing this up as an issue, because this is now the bulk of the economy. 80% of the economy is tied up in intangibles.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to understand them. We've got to develop them. And, of course, it's small businesses where these ideas come from, by and large. This is where most of the wellspring of creativity is.
Right.
So we've got to do everything we can to help small business and know what to do with the ideas when they have them, how to protect them, how to make sure they get the credit for them, how to develop them, move them forward.
Douglas, I'm going to have to wrap it up.
Okay.
Thank you for being here. Good job today. The book is
Thanks
Ideation.
Very much, Jim.
Bye-bye. Got to go for this hour. I'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.